Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. And that's all we're going to do for the intro because we're trying to shorten it up. And if you've heard the show before, you already know the intro. If you haven't heard the show before and you're new to it, basically, we give you all the tactical information you need to go from being an employee in a trades-based business to owning a trades-based business. And so we're going to get into a couple of topics today about that. Before we get into a couple of these topics, if you guys have questions that you would like us to answer on the show, you can email them to several emails. We're going to rattle them off all now.
Do you think that this intro is better than the one that you butchered before?
Yeah, probably.
I love you, man.
All right, so one email, one way to send us questions is you can like literally just find us on Facebook. You can find me, Mitch Smedley, on Facebook. You can find David. He's actually backwards. He's Hilton David on Facebook.
I may not respond to you, so just know I'm not judging
this
you.
This still hurts my OCD.
Yeah.
Every time I think about it, I get angry.
Yeah.
Hilton Dave.
So you can also email us a couple of different emails here. We've got askmitch@mitchsmedley.com. We've also got Mitch at TradeWinsConsulting.com, and we have David at TradeWinsConsulting.com. And those last two emails are TradeWinsConsulting.com. So
I do like answer those.
Winning in the trades. Yeah, the TradeWins Consulting emails. We're going to, we answer those promptly. So, but yeah, any questions you have, let us know about that. And before we get into our topics today,
what?
I got a little feedback. Nobody knows. You didn't. I haven't shared this with anybody.
I've been gone for a week.
I know.
Did you miss me at all? I mean, I'd like to say I missed you, but I didn't. I was on vacation.
I tried to leave you alone.
It was fun.
As much as I could.
I left my phone in the room.
Yeah.
I just was like, screw it. Mitch has got it. He doesn't need me. If Mitch can't live life without me for 6 days, we got problems.
So.
Okay, what? What?
We got an email. What? This email actually came like a while ago.
Oh shit. Okay. I can't decide if I should be concerned or
we haven't recorded a show for 2 weeks, so it's taken a minute to get here.
Oh. Okay. So not that long ago.
This gentleman, his name is Tim. It's actually Kiwi Tim.
K-I-W-I?
K-I-W-I.
Kiwi Tim. What a cool fucking name.
Yeah. Big
tattoo artist.
So he's emailed us in before. He's a avid listener from New Zealand.
Oh yeah.
Okay. I wanted to wait until I had achieved something before replying to your email. Yesterday, I completed our first community day, and it was really successful. I met some lovely people, and I'm now enjoying some gifted baking.
What the hell is that?
In other words, they thanked him with baked goods.
Oh, okay.
You guys have been a huge inspiration, so I wanted to say a huge thank you. Our business has officially been open 3 weeks, and we are really enjoying the new challenge. P.S. Do come to New Zealand and get a red stack.
That's like elk hunting.
Yeah.
I would
make sure it's during the roar to improve your chances. The roar must be like the rut.
Yeah, of course.
And I look forward to meeting you in person.
Dude, I tell you what, like, who's paying? Like, it's a long way to New Zealand.
We'll figure that out.
That's a long ways.
He had also been texting me a little bit or emailing me a little bit about like how to share the word about the community day. And so he said he sent another email.
In his community. Gotcha.
Yeah. He sent another email a couple of minutes later that says, P.S. We followed your instructions to a T on how to post on Facebook and we had an incredible response. This pic is from our first week in business. No paid advertising, just great community response. I haven't had a quiet day yet. We plan to be the anchor in our community.
Nice.
So,
go get him, Kiwi.
Yeah. And then there's a picture in there. Let me pop that up here.
Let me see it. Let me see. Oh, nice.
Yeah. So his picture is like a screenshot where he reached 11,300 people in the last 7 days using only Facebook and nobody else.
Oh, you mean free advertising like we talk about all the time?
Isn't that crazy?
It's amazing what happens when you apply yourself.
Yeah. So if you want to know what he's talking about with the community day, you can roll back all the way to episode 7 of this show where we talk about community day.
Oh, and episode 7. Good luck, people.
Yeah. Now, keep in mind, that's back when we were early into podcasting and we weren't that great. We're that much better now, but like now we're bad. Back then, we were really bad.
We're okay.
We've
now.
Graduated
back
from
then,
bad
we were
to
shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, let's not. It was. It, We keep saying we're going to re-record those first nine.
I know. We never do.
It's been like 2 years or a year. We've been like, let's re-record them. Let's re-record them.
Yep.
Lazy.
So one of the cool things that you can do, hashtags, like for those that don't know, hashtags help organize photos all over the internet, right? And so when I post a photo and I put a hashtag with it, anybody can search that hashtag and they may stumble across my photo, right? So we came up with the hashtag back 2.5 years ago when we filmed episode 7. We came up with the hashtag find the need, fill the void. And if you do your community day stuff, you just throw that hashtag in there and then anybody can search that hashtag. If you're listening to this show, you can pause it, go to Facebook and search that hashtag and see people all over the country and all over the world using that hashtag as they do their community involvement work. So
yeah,
it's pretty sweet.
It is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Lots of guys are using it.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that, like, we don't hang our hat on a lot of things, but that's one of them. It's like, dude, all of those people that are doing that are uplifting their communities.
Yeah.
And Mitch started that.
Yeah. It's all a little movement that started from this podcast. It's kind of cool.
It's great.
So, now we can get into some actual topics that we're going to talk about. I'm not going to say both of them because we might not get to both of them.
What do you want
to
talk about, dude?
Let's talk about the fact that you're much more ready now than you think you are.
Agreed.
So where this stems from, again, Austin, the creator of the topic here.
Boom.
Where this stems from is Austin gets to hear this from time to time and just staying in the peripherals. We hear this all the time where people talk about, like, when I get to this level, I'm going to do X, or I'm not big enough to do this yet, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And the whole idea of this topic is you are absolutely ready to do whatever it is you think you're thinking about, right? So, for instance, let me just give you some real stuff. Like, some people will say, like, when I get big enough, then I'll roll out like a prepaid maintenance agreement or a planned maintenance agreement or some kind of routine annual visit with monthly costs, like monthly auto credit billing or whatever. And that people feel like they have to be a certain size before they do that. You can do that from day one. You can draft that up. You can figure out how all the mechanics work on the back end, how to charge the credit cards monthly. You can figure out all that and you can do it day one.
People feel like they doubt themselves because they don't want to, one, get shot down, right? Two, they think the only way people are going to think I'm legitimate and take advantage of, like, in this example of that program, is if they think I'm X size.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not true. If they trust it, and let's be honest, when you go out on your own, people don't know how big you are unless you're telling them, this is my second call. First off, don't ever freaking do that.
Yeah.
Act like you're the biggest, baddest, best company on the road.
Yep.
Like everyone else.
Yep. One of the things that I did when I started out, even though it was just me, my wife was answering calls, and doing books and stuff, I would tell people we do this, we do that, we did this last week, we have this coming up, we can get you on the schedule. Like, it was never I, it was always we. And I also never told people I owned the company. I wanted them to think I was just a service tech at Smedley Plumbing, right? And so most of the people that I visited didn't know I owned the company. And because of the way I talk, it was kind of crazy. A lot of people would ask, like, how many plumbers work with you there? You know, and not for me, with me, right? How many plumbers are over there? How big is Smedley?
Yeah.
Well, I'm the only one. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you said we. Well, it's my wife and I, but And then we'd be like, so does that mean you're Mr. Smedley? Like you could watch them come to that. But
yeah, their brain's working.
Yeah.
Right?
But like that's a successful experience with that customer, because up until that moment, they thought they were dealing with a larger company than they were. And the larger the company, the more trust the customer has.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and people don't like when you come out and you come in and say, hi, I'm Mr. Smedley, owner of Smedley Plumbing. I'm here to do your, it just comes off as arrogant, even if you're not meaning it to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's what arrogant D-bags do.
Yeah.
You know, that just, it doesn't work. You automatically create, it's not, mistrust is not the right word, but it's, what am I looking for, Mitch? It's not mistrust, but you're not building the relationship before they come to that on their own.
Well, you're just making them have a different perception of the company than they rightfully should have. That's the biggest thing. Like their perception should be you are an employee of a larger company. You don't want them thinking you're the one man show.
No.
And the reason why is because people have been taken advantage of by the one man show. People are a little sketched out by the guy who's doing it all, right? And so you want your company to appear slightly larger than it actually is, especially when you're a one man show. Now, obviously, there's caveats to everything. Yeah. I've got a really good friend of mine. His name's Kyle. Has a one man plumbing company out in Independence, not too far from here. He very upstanding, very professional, carries himself incredibly well. Like he does the one man show as right as you possibly can.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say you don't like have to, like Kyle makes it work. Right. But he also doesn't go like his company's not named after him. His company's called Devoted Plumbing. And so, you know, it doesn't carry the same, you know, risks when you're talking to a customer and it's Smedley and then they find out your last name Smedley and so on.
And it's different too. Like when we talk about things on the show, we have to kind of say that we're speaking in the grand scheme of things. Those ideas like that you were just talking about weed and all that works more often than the one man show that is coming out there, this is my place, this is that, blah, blah, blah. Like, there are certain customers that they want a one-man show.
Right.
They want to know that when they call me, I'm coming out.
Right.
Not some Joe Blow because they got burned by a company that was Joe Blow's. But those are the outliers.
They are the outliers.
You know what I mean? Like, maybe that's only 20% of the customer base.
Right.
Well, we want you to access 80% of the customer base.
Right.
Not 20%.
Right.
And so when we talk about things that aren't necessarily, how do I say this? When we know people are going to be like, well, that's just not true because my one-man show does this. Like, my one-man show did that.
Yeah.
Like, it was great. But that's not the everyone can't do that. It doesn't work for everyone.
Well,
those are small niche markets.
And
niche ways to handle things.
The driver of a one-man show staying a one-man show and losing trust with his customers is he has an I mentality. And the successful one-man shows have a we mentality. Even if they never graduate above just themselves, the we includes them and their customers.
Yeah.
Whereas the guys that are taking customers for a ride and stealing their money and doing crappy work and everything else, it's an I mentality. It's they're selfish and they want the money and they deliver crappy work.
Yeah.
And they're in it to win for themselves instead of for them and the customer to win. And so, you know, I'm not going to say like it's not suicide if you tell people you own the company, but it's a lot better if they don't know you're the owner.
To start the relationship for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, unless they just personally know you.
Yeah.
But that's totally different.
We're
talking about blind customers.
Yeah. Some customer calls you off the blue, found you on Google.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to go in there and be like, ha ha, I'm the owner. Because now they're going to expect discounts. They're going to treat you like customers talk to you totally different.
Yeah.
When they think you're an employee versus when they think you're an owner.
Yeah. You know, and it's weird. You would think that as an owner, people would not try to haggle you on your price. But when they know you're the owner, they know that you have the power to change that price.
Yeah. They'll haggle you more.
Yeah. They haggle you more.
Yeah. And
they know that, like, as an employee, if they think you're an employee, they automatically think, oh, there's no way that this guy's going to be able to just give me a price. He's going to have to call and they're going to have to do this. And like, I'm not saying people won't do it because they do it all the time, but it's an extra step for them, which is just one more thing that you don't have to deal with.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And another aspect of this, it's similar, but respecting the customer and treating your very first customers like you would if you had been in business for 5 years. So it's like basically, you know, treating the customer that they're paying you $100 and you know, you're doing whatever work you can for them, not saying like, oh, well, you know, I'm to yourself, well, I'm new. So like whenever I get to this level, then I'll do the full quality, you know, like treating them like they're the most important people.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that aspect of it.
So what you were talking about, as far as the customer stuff goes, another aspect of this is your pricing. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys at one man show will be like, well, I'll charge those rates when I get bigger. Yeah. Charge those rates now.
We've talked about this 1,000 times. You're still offering the same service, if not better service.
If not better.
Especially in the heating and cooling realm.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you call I don't want to say any big companies, but you call a big company, you get some kid out there that doesn't know what he's doing. He's overcharging your unit. He's undercharging your unit. Didn't even check if the filter was dirty.
Right.
When you have someone that's a one-man show come to your house, or someone that's, this is why you have the...
Hey, if you like what you're hearing on The Void and you want even more info, we just started a mentorship program specifically for trades professionals to start their business or to get their business to an incredibly healthy position. So if you'd like more info, click on the link in the description of this show.
Hours guarantee mm-hmm. on your guys, right? Like, you know, they're legit.
Yeah.
They're coming out. Like, you're getting the best service.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of guys think, well, because I'm small and because I have low overhead, I don't have to charge those. Well, charging fair wages has less to do with what you have to charge and more to do with taking advantage of what the fair wage is in your market, right?
Yeah.
So let's just use round numbers. If the fair price to install a water heater in your market's $2,000 and all the big shops in town are charging $2,000, you don't have to leave money on the table and go charge $1,400.
No, you should be charging $2,000.
If
or
anything,
$1,950 or $2,100.
Well, I'll even go farther than that. The big company in town has, like, they're a machine. They bring people in off the street with little to no training. They train them how to do a few tasks, and then they put them out in a truck. And so the customer that's paying $2,000 for a water heater from the big company, I can guarantee you, the guy that's putting in that water heater has far less experience than you do. And that company or that customer still values that installation at $2,000.
Yeah.
So if you have years and years more experience than the technicians at the large company, there is no reason at all why you shouldn't be charging exactly what the larger companies are charging. There's no reason at all. If anything, you could actually charge more because you're a little bit more of a boutique operation. And you can actually get paid a little bit better because of your years of experience and the fact that you are going to be significantly higher quality than the company who's got, you know, a water heater installer with 6 months of experience out there popping in water heaters left and right.
Yeah, this is a thing I ran into all the time when I first started. Like, I would go to someone's house and say I offer them a high-end changeout, right? Well, my price was $15,000.
Right.
Like, and, you know, they'd come out and they'd be like, well, blah blah was here and they're the same as 13. And I would just literally look at them and I'd say, yeah, I said, I'm making the same money that they're making off of this. They buy more equipment than me, so they get their equipment cheaper. That's why their price is cheaper.
Right.
Well, Quitrip
I would lose jobs to that, and I would get jobs because of that. Like, it was probably a 50-50 wash.
Right.
But whether I got that job or the next job, it didn't really matter. Like, I wasn't trying to float overhead.
Yeah.
So if I missed them, I missed them. But I was not going to shortchange myself for the work I was putting in.
Yeah.
I'm still doing the same work they are. I just got to pay more for the equipment.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, my time is still just as valuable as theirs. And you know that I am building this business, like, from the ground up. You will be getting the best install you can get with me.
Yeah.
Versus these two kids that are off the street smoking dope and they're, you know, whatever.
Right.
You know, that are just trying to slam it in and get home.
Right.
Like, I don't want to be coming back here on warranty issues. I'm not trying to get out of here and get home. I want you to be a customer of mine for life.
Right.
Like, those were the conversations I would have. And it was amazing how many people would say yes.
Right.
Like, they want, it's, people want to help small businesses get off the ground.
Yep.
They really do. People will pay a little bit more money.
Yeah.
Knowing that they're getting more quality and they're getting more of a, when they call me, hey, I'm
right.
David's coming out.
Well, and
you know,
let me crack you back into, like, the mindset of a customer. Customers know the big companies are more expensive, right? We've actually had customers give us the feedback to say, if I wanted to pay that much, I would have called one of the big companies.
Well, maybe you should have.
And I tell them straight out. I'm like, okay, let's flesh that out for a second. What advantage would you have by calling one of the bigger companies? Well, they're bigger, so their service is probably better. Really?
That's because they don't know.
They don't know,
they
right?
They don't know.
And so then we dive into how fast they burn through employees, so therefore how fast they have to train them, therefore how little experience their employees have. And so you're actually paying more for less experience.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, with us, you're paying the same amount and guaranteed a minimum 5 years of experience. And the customer's like, oh, okay. So they come around to it.
Yeah.
But their predisposition is the bigger companies are worth the extra money. You typically have customers in two camps. One camp is the bigger companies are worth the extra money. The other camp is, I don't want any big company because I don't want to pay those kind of rates. Well, that's not the customer you want.
Yeah. You know? I was going to say, there's three. There's another one out there. Like, you know,
I can remember a time. So we built our business on word of mouth referrals. I can remember a time where I actually had to post on my personal Facebook page of like, it was something along the lines of like, I really want to appreciate everybody for helping spread the word about our company. It's because of you guys that we've grown to the size that we are. However, I do have a request. If you're online or you hear of somebody asking like, I need a great deal on a plumber. I need a plumber that's not going to break the bank. I need a plumber that isn't going to cost me an arm and a leg. Please do not recommend us to that customer.
Yeah, we're expensive, bitch.
We are not the cheap plumber. We've built our company around quality and value, and you can't have quality, value, and cheap all in the same realm.
No, pick two.
So, you know, if you want cheap, refer somebody else or just don't make a recommendation. But if you hear of somebody saying, I'm looking for a plumber, recommend us. If you hear of somebody saying, I need a good plumber because the previous three haven't solved the issue, recommend us.
Yeah.
But if they're saying, I need the cheapest plumber I can find, please keep our name out of your mouth in that conversation.
Yeah. QuitTrip name. QuitTrip kind of models the smaller business.
Will Smith.
Yeah, that's good. I just, sorry, Austin. No, go ahead, buddy.
So QuitTrip models small business mentality of like, you're paying for quality and flexibility. Like QuitTrip, they charge the convenience fee. And like you're paying twice as much for a bag of chips, but that's because you could park your car, be in and out in like 3 minutes with everything you need. And so it's like, you know, they're charging more, but it's...
Yeah, QuitTrip's business model is, first off, I always will go to a QuitTrip if it's closer because of that. Mm-hmm. Literally, you walk in, every store's the... Most of the stores now are set up the same, right? Mm-hmm. And you can literally walk in, get paid, and get out.
Right.
That to me is a bonus. If I got to pay 10 more cents, I don't care.
Right.
Because my time is of value.
Right.
Right. Like it makes sense. They've, let's be honest, in the convenience world, like they've cracked the code.
Stuff is always stocked. Like you kind of know, like if I'm in a bind, I'm running maybe late, or if I'm like, I need to have a experience, I know what I'm getting.
Mm-hmm.
You go to that. But then if you're like, well, I really want a pizza, but I got to go to Casey's, so I'm kind of rolling the dice on this a little bit. Like, what am I going to see when I get
first
to
off,
Casey's?
If I'm getting pizza, I'm not going to QuitTrip. I am going to Casey's, and I know it's going to take me four times as long, and they're not going to have it. Yeah. I'm going to have to smell like cigarettes. Like, but it's the pizza's why I'm there.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, but I don't want to get into like a whole processes thing, but that's why QuitTrip's so great. Their process, this is the McDonald's talk that we have once in a while. They have everything so organized and so to the T that it makes it a well-oiled machine.
Now,
like that's why they get away with it. It's now, just boom, 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 boom.
We've used these analogies before, and I want to take a moment to draw a very distinct line here. We talk about the efficiency of QuitTrip, and we talk about the efficiency of McDonald's, and we talk about how their processes allow them to take somebody off the street and turn them into a productive employee in a short amount of time, right?
Well, plumbing's different.
It's different in a skilled trades environment. In other words, it doesn't take 5 years of experience to flip a hamburger by yourself. It might take 5 years of experience to lead a sewer replacement job.
Yeah.
Right? It doesn't take 5 years of experience to load fries into a canister and set them into the little aisle thing that they're waiting in, you know, with the hot light over the top.
Yeah.
No, but it does take 5 years of experience to install a water heater to code in any environment you can come across.
Yeah.
Right.
And kind of where I was going with that was not necessarily that analogy, but the analogy of if your well-oiled machine is running great, all you have to do is plug a 5-year plumber into
exactly.
it. Exactly. And then because regardless, as long as they have the experience and they're a good plumber, they are going to make you money because everything surrounding them is in place as it should be. That's what I was meaning by that.
And that's
all
like,
that stuff.
I mean, you know, you already know this. That's my business model. My business model was we only hire plumbers with 5 years of experience or more.
Yeah.
So that I can literally write all the processes for how to succeed in our company.
Yeah.
I don't have a process for how to install an expansion tank.
No.
I don't have a process for how to install a water heater. You have 5 years of experience. You better know how to install a water heater, right? And I'm going to give you the liberty to install it your way, and I'm going to give him the liberty to install it his way. And I know they're going to be slightly different, and I'm okay with that as long as they're to code.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what
my processes are all about. Like, how do you interact with the customer? How do you make sure they have a great experience? How do you book the service call? How do you collect the money? How do you function in the role, not how do you do the plumbing?
Yeah. And I don't want to talk bad about any of your guys. I'm just using this as an example, but say one of them left and you got a guy that had 6 or 7 years experience come in, you could literally plug them in and in a month they should be turning the same dollars.
Yeah.
Like that's
2 weeks.
It's the business model that we're talking about here, not necessarily the person doing the job.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's the business model that makes it run smoothly.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
And some other things here on the topic of like, you're ready now, do the cool thing, don't wait.
I completely forgot what we were even talking about.
You're ready now.
I'm ready now.
Other things that we're talking about is like, you know, that cool truck wrap that you wanted. You don't have to wait till you're big to get a truck wrap.
Yeah, get it now.
It's cheaper to do it now when you have one truck than it is when you have five.
Yeah.
So bake it into your, you know, new truck expenses and get it done now, right? Cool, fancy business cards or uniforms or whatever. Now, I understand that dollars play a role in here.
Dollars dictate a lot.
Right. They like, do. You may not have the money for a cool truck wrap, but don't think you have to be big. Like, let the money be the only thing standing in the way.
Yeah.
If you have a truck wrap, like maybe there's like a smaller decal, like be the best you can be to deliver that quality, like with like your budget or wherever you have access to or something.
Right. Like our truck wraps, I install them myself. I'm unique in that. Like I can do vinyl work. I used to do it as a side gig a long time ago.
I asked you to do my truck. You told me to fuck off.
Yeah.
I told him I'd pay him. He's like, no, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Or fine. Whatever.
So I do them myself. It's kind of therapy. For me, it's like a, I don't know. It's
like peeling skin off when you get a sunburn.
No. It's a growth thing.
I'm wrapping
a new truck and putting it out into the fleet, like there's a
satisfaction.
Internal satisfaction of like when you put that last sticker on.
Yeah.
The truck wrap's the last thing to go on. We build the whole truck and then we wrap it.
Yeah.
And so when you're peeling off the backing of that last sticker and that truck is now ready to roll, it's like,
yes.
Yeah. Right?
You're so creepy.
And so you know, I do those myself, but in our wrap is fairly simple. Now it's clean. It's very direct. It's to the point. But it is very simple. It's not a full wrap. It's more decal. Like the truck is, I mean, there's stuff everywhere, but it's decals. It's not a wrap, you know, but you know, a wrap's going to cost you $5,000. So don't think like, let the $5,000 stand in the way. Don't think, oh, I'm a one truck company, I don't need a wrap. You do.
I was just, this is so weird that this was our topic. I was literally talking last week to a guy and he works at his pickup truck, kind of like I used to do. Right. And he was like, man, I can't wait till I'm bigger and I get a Sprinter. And I'm like, dude, you realize this guy's truck, like literally he could sell his truck and have the Sprinter.
Right.
I'm like, you know, you could just sell that and get the Sprinter now. Right. He's like, yeah, but listen, and I'm like, dude, do you realize that that's a billboard? Do you realize that you can fit 10 times the stuff in that than you can your truck?
Right.
Why are you waiting?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't feel like I'm big. That's.
You're big enough.
You're literally. Sometimes I think it's guys' own fears that keep them from taking that step.
It's called imposter syndrome.
No, I know what you mean.
They don't think they're ready for that yet.
No, I think they're afraid that once they. I'm not saying that it's not some of them are that way, but I think they're afraid that once they take that step, they can't take a step back.
Right.
You know what I mean? Oh, well, if I get that, I'm committed. And then if I need my truck, if this doesn't work out, they're afraid.
Yeah.
If this doesn't work out, I'm not going to have it. You can still sell it and get your old truck back.
Facebook Marketplace is littered with trucks that you could pick up today.
Yeah. Today. Like, you know what I mean? It's just this self-doubt that like they let creep in, because I think they're honestly, a lot of times they're just afraid.
Yeah.
They're like, man, if this takes off, it's going to be a very tough challenge.
Yep.
And I don't know if I'm ready to do this. Like that's what they are thinking in their brain. I'm trying not to say fuck on the show all the time, but it's a mind fuck.
There's almost
like you're literally battling yourself to try to figure out, am I ready to do it? You know what I mean? And I think when guys first get started, like they're scared to take those steps because they haven't done them before and they're afraid to fail.
Yeah. So one of my Facebook friends, he posted this 3 hours ago, and it's perfectly from what you're talking about.
Okay. What is it?
He says, You're always just one more guru seminar, one more event, one more workshop, and yep. one more mastermind group away from spending money to stay stuck exactly where you are this year.
Yeah. And, dude, 100%. Yeah, and, that's great.
And basically what he's
Who
hitting...
Who was that? Do I know?
No.
Oh, okay.
Basically what he's hitting at is you still have to do the work, right? Yeah. A truck wrap is not going to launch your business into the future. Now, without not having it, like... It's kind of weird. Not having a truck wrap will keep your business from launching into the future. But the truck wrap doesn't launch your business into the future. It makes you look more professional, right?
Yeah. Well, it's...
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every $10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
I don't want to get into a thing here, but it's like, that's a billboard. That's advertising. That's
advertising.
What do we talk about all the time?
Right.
The most important thing is free advertising.
Yeah.
Like,
we
you're driving the truck anyway, man.
So we dominate our local city. This morning, I was looking at all of our calls on the board, trying to figure out where all of our guys were going.
Yeah.
85% of our calls are in our town. A town of 60,000 people.
I don't need to work for you, but I almost want to because this town is so small. It's got to be easy. Like every call's got to be 5 minutes apart.
Yeah, they're 5 to 10 minutes away.
I'm saying.
Like it's awesome, right?
Like to boop, boop, boop,
right.
boop.
But
like it's got to be so easy.
What we ask everybody, how did you hear about us? And it's two ways. Every time it's always, when it's in our town, it's always two ways. Oh, I see you guys all over on social media. Or
yeah,
see I
see that?
Your trucks all over town.
I see that billboard.
Right.
I see the guys all the time.
So if you have an unmarked truck that looks like an Amazon delivery driver,
yeah,
you
that's
ain't
not
getting
good.
Your truck is not helping you get calls.
And I will say this, and I don't want to the guys that are driving pickup trucks, like I drove a pickup truck for years.
It does not look professional.
It is no longer the professional look.
No.
It was like when you and I were coming up and in the early aughts and even like it.
For new construction, maybe.
It worked and it even worked for service. Like there was still a balance, but now there's so many and Sprinters. And I just say Sprinter because it's just what I think of.
Transits.
Yeah. That's the go-to now. And so if you don't have one, you don't look professional.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to say that, but it's true.
Yeah.
It's 100% true. When I see Joe Blow heating and cooling in a pickup truck, I'm like, dude,
even if
it's boxed out, even if it's got a wrap, it doesn't matter. It's just like, dude,
yeah,
you're behind. Dude, you are behind the times right now.
I've watched several plumbers. There's a guy in our town that would show up to houses in an F-350 that was four different colors.
Oh, with the red hood, the gray fender, the black box.
The black.
I don't know if those are the exact colors,
right,
but I know what you're talking
about. Like you can tell the truck was assembled from junkyard parts.
Yeah. He crashed it one time and was like, I'm going out to County Line Auto and getting whatever I can to pull onto this bitch.
Think about the image that portrays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If he's willing to cobble together his own vehicle, what is he going to cobble together in your house?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you show up in a clean, nicely wrapped, well-represented truck, all of those fears are now automatically gone. Same with uniforms. A lot of guys are like, yeah, when I get big, I'll get uniforms. Get them now.
Yeah.
And yes, a uniform service will not work with you when you have less than 3 employees. Like I called uniform services when I was a one-man show and they're like, nope, got to have 3 to 5 employees first. And you have to have a physical shop. We will not come to your house. And so I didn't let that deter me from doing uniforms. So uniform services, you lease your uniforms. You don't actually own them. Well, I'm like, okay, if I can't lease from a uniform service,
I bought mine.
I'll buy them.
Yeah.
So I buy all the pants. I buy all the shirts. We actually provide our guys shorts. Man, my phone is just going nuts.
I don't
know. It doesn't usually do that.
So I did the same thing when I started and they were like, yeah, this and that. And I was like, you know what? Screw you. I went and bought really nice polos that were the moisture wicking, had them embroidered. I even got them for when my dad was helping me or when my brother was helping me or when Dustin was helping me. I got them all sizes.
Yeah.
I mean, and I told him, I said, dude, if you eat up pants and you want some money for pants, I'll buy them for you.
Yeah.
Like, you have to, when you go to someone's home, if you're not wearing a shirt now, like, I don't believe in the name tag thing. I think that's pretty over the top and dumb.
Yeah, your name needs to be on your shirt somewhere. And the company name needs to be on the shirt.
The company name, at a minimum, has to be on your shirt.
Yeah.
It has to be.
There's way too many scammers out there that are posing as Amazon drivers.
Salesmen.
Or sales guys.
Yeah.
That show up in non-marked cars and non-marked clothing. Yeah. And they're like, oh, we're representing. Usually it's door-to-door sales guys.
Yeah.
And usually they're like a 1099 employee selling for a pest control company this week. And next week it'll be roofs.
It's
and
solar the week panels. After that, it'll solar be solar panels. Panels. Now. Dude, yeah. I've turned two down at my house. I literally told a guy, like, he was so hard on me. I may have brought this up.
Yeah, you talked about it.
I was like, dude, you have got to leave.
Yeah.
You're pissing me
off.
You
don't even know, like, I don't even know who you are.
Yeah. Like, I'm looking around. I have two neighbors. Like, literally, I could bury you in the backyard and no one would fucking know.
Right.
Like, we could just dig a hole big enough for that car and everything and just push the whole thing in. Like, get the hell out of here.
Right.
But then, like, when we talk about know, like, and trust all the time, if you're not rolling up to someone's house with at least a shirt that has your logo on it,
right,
you automatically are creating doubt in their mind that you're capable of doing the job. It sounds so dumb.
Right.
It sounds so trivial. But, dude, in this day and age, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Get shirts. Guys, shirts are cheap as shit.
Yeah.
You got to have them anyway.
My full uniform get up. Is $600, and that's 11 shirts, 11 pants, and 11 shorts.
That's a lot of clothes.
And I provide my guys shorts. I'm unique in this. I'm not going to take a stance that this is the right way to go. I'm running a gamble with this. I know everyone likes pants. It looks more professional and everything else.
I call bullshit.
I like my guys to be comfortable. And like today, it's 95 degrees and sunny. Like, I'm not going to make you go sweat your ass off. Like, it's like tattoos. Tattoos used to be like, you can't show tattoos. Like, people wouldn't hire you if you had visible tattoos.
Yeah.
Now people think you're kind of weird if you don't have a tattoo. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, that's true.
Like, they're just so common now. Right.
Yeah.
And so like, we don't care about tattoos. Now, I mean, obviously you can't have like,
you can't have a swastika on your forehead. I'm not hiring you. I'm sorry. Don't be a dipshit.
Yeah. Like, tasteful tattoos are totally fine. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you can't be a complete dummy.
Yeah.
Like, but
yeah, if you get tribal around your eye
to get to, so back to the shorts thing, like, even the Royals, like, on their broadcast crew, like, if it's above 92, they don't have to wear suits. Like, they can wear polos.
Right.
Like, people understand, you know what I mean?
Yep.
The whole you can't wear shorts thing, that's out. I call bullshit.
Remember we used to play paintball?
Oh, loved paintball.
And we had those kind of silky jersey shirts.
Yeah.
Those are actually becoming popular as service shirts.
Yeah.
Because they
have been for a little while.
They can print them up 360, all coverage.
Yeah.
Right? It's not just like name tag on one chest pocket and like company name on the other and like an American flag on the shoulder. It's like you can have graphics all the way down the sleeves, all the way down to the tails, like
they're
everything.
Cool. They're cool.
And so those are actually becoming really popular as service shirts because you can brand your, there's more branding space on
those. Well, you can take your brand from your truck and put it onto your shirt.
Yeah.
That's why they're doing that is because it makes it look like you're complete.
Yeah.
So to say.
Right.
I don't like them. I think they're too busy, but I like, if you did that, I wouldn't be like, Mitch, you shouldn't do that. Those are dumb.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, this wouldn't be my personal preference, but people, if you match your truck and it matches your brand and it announces who you are, that's what's important.
Right. Some other things of where people often wait because they're not big enough yet. Fuel cards. A lot of guys, a one-man show is just going to use his company debit card to buy fuel, right? Go ahead and get your fuel account.
Yeah, it allows you to build credit.
Right. So there's a couple of different ways to do it. There's some national fuel cards that work at any gas station that you can do. We are in an area where Quick Trip gas stations are all over. And so
For those of you that don't have them, sorry.
Yeah.
You're missing the F
Unless
out.
You have Buc-ee's. Like, Quick Trip's
Buc-ee's are cool, too.
I think Buc-ee's is number one, Quick Trip's number two.
Buc-ee's are cool.
Yeah. So
freaking humongous.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I don't like
it's
walking
47-minute
miles.
Process to get gas there.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah.
Buc-ee's
are cool though.
Like, we got fuel cards like right out of the gate. And yes, it's a little bit of extra bookkeeping. However, we knew where we were going. We knew that we were going to have fuel cards because as soon as I hire plumber number two, I'm not going to give him a company credit card. Right.
Yeah.
So I got to have a way for him to get fuel.
Yeah.
And so we went ahead and got Quick Trip. We got an account at Quick Trip. We got Quick Trip cards. And so that way, literally the day we hired plumber number two, we're able to go like, hey, we need another card. And they give us another card and we assign it to the truck and everything. And we're just ready to roll, right?
Yeah.
Little things like that. Getting all your accounts set at certain locations. Small businesses love to just pay cash for shit, right? Get an account. Go ahead and get that set up, because as soon as you hire plumber number two, he has no way to buy material.
Yep.
You have to have an account, right?
You know what I've noticed, and I don't want to throw Tradewinds guys under the bus, but like sewer cameras, if you're a plumber, guys, get a freaking camera. Okay. Don't say you're not going to do drains. This drives me crazy with some of our guys. Mm-hmm. Like, I haven't got a camera. What do you mean you don't have you got a sewer machine? Yes. You know what?
Right.
Dude, get the fucking camera. If you got to borrow steel, get the tools, and I don't mean just sewer can, get the tools you need to do the best job you can do no matter what trade you're in.
Right.
Okay.
Well, imagine.
Shit drives me insane. Like, if someone rolls up to your house and they're pulling out a hand snake to do your.
Yep.
Stop.
Right.
You don't look professional.
Let's compare your one man show with a hand snake and no sewer camera compared to the big guy in town.
Yeah.
Who's got machine augers, motorized augers, and sewer cameras, right? You now look unprofessional. And there are guys that'll sit there with 40 or 50 grand in their business bank account
and not buy a sewer camera.
It's like, dude,
guys, you're killing me, man.
You realize that that sewer camera could pay for itself in like two or three jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, technically one job.
I was
going to
say,
but
if you go on two or three jobs, if you go on 10 and have a 20% closing rate, you get two, you've paid for that camera.
Right.
Outside
of paying for the camera, you've looked more professional to the customer because you showed up, you were able to diagnose it, and you were able to provide a solution without having to outsource it or tell them to call somebody else.
And I don't want to get caught up on the camera thing, but like, you can show them. There's no doubt in their mind because they can see what you are seeing.
So,
and the really good ones, like the Vivax, I don't know what brand you guys have. Like, you can record it and send it to them.
Yeah.
Like, you can email it to them. They can look at it and decide, oh man, look, that is shit.
Yeah, I don't like recording.
Why?
We don't record anything. We just show them live.
Well, I'm just saying, if, say, a wife's there, I'd like my husband to see it.
Yeah.
You have the option to say, I'll send this to you.
I'd rather return later and when the husband's there and do it again.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Well, the reason why is because he can watch a recording and he can make it into whatever he thinks.
You have to frame it a certain way.
If he's minimizing all problems around the house, he's going to watch that recording and be like, that offset's not that bad. That crack's not that big. Those roots aren't that bad, right?
You're overthinking it.
Well, as a guy operating the camera, you're able to show them how difficult it is to push the camera over offsets or through roots and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas on a recording, there's just not much you can do there. And recordings don't do, like, we have people call us all the time, like, I've got a recording on my sewer and I need a bid. Well, I'm going to have to camera it myself. Why? I already had a recording. Yeah, that recording didn't even show me where your sewer is.
Yeah.
It shows me what's wrong, but it doesn't show me what I have to dig under and around to get to.
Yeah. Well, you would never, like, that's apples and oranges.
I know.
But okay.
But yeah, we just don't record.
There's a good bit of like theater that goes on too. Like, it kind of borders along the lines of being there, framing the discussion, just presenting yourself.
Yeah. And it's not really theater. It feels like theater because we're really experienced and we see this every day in and day out.
We prefer salesmanship.
Yeah. A lot of it is raising the level of awareness and raising the level of concern to the customer. Because keep in mind, most likely that customer woke up the morning before with no problems. And today they have problems. And if they're severe problems and our professional diagnosis is, yeah, you need a sewer, we have to communicate how severe these problems are to the customer. Otherwise, we're actually doing them a disservice. Right.
Yeah.
So,
and that's what I mean. I
didn't mean to yell into the mic. Sorry.
I don't mean like theater as far as like what you'd see like on a Broadway show, but there's a thing of like, it's important to frame like the situation.
I see what he's saying.
Yeah.
Like you want to make for sure that you're there. And two, like, you're not going to be like, well, there's a crack there. Yeah, there's a crack. You kind of put on like a persona.
Yeah.
You
know? One of the workshops that I attended, I don't know, 15 or 20 years ago, it was like a selling workshop, and their whole motto was, it's never just a repair. Because guys that do this day in and day out, and it doesn't matter plumbing or any trade whatsoever, guys that do this day in and day out, it's just an alternator. It's just a transmission. It's just a new set of tires. Well, if all you do is tires every day, day in and day out, then yeah, it is just tires. But to that person, that's the only set of tires they've bought in 5 years.
Yeah.
It's not just tires.
No.
That is a 5-year decision.
No. It's a, well, and it's a, it's a 6-hour problem for them right now.
Right.
Like it's eating half of their day. They had to take off work. They had to get someone to pick up their kid. Yep. Like it is their, in their life at that moment, it's the biggest problem they're facing.
Right. Right. Like, and so when you say it's just a set of tires, you're minimizing the severity of the problem to the customer. To you, it's not that severe because you handle this day in and day out. To your customer,
I've never heard
it's absolutely
it,
severe.
I've never heard it said like that. That's yeah. really good.
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is FieldPulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using FieldPulse. So if you'd like to check out FieldPulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show.
Yeah, like we see leaking water lines all the time.
Yeah, like it's just another little leak.
It's just a drip.
And then you say,
can you imagine if I went to $2,500? It's just a drip until it does $10,000 in damage to your house.
Yeah. Oh, but the bid's $25. What you said, it was just a drip.
Yeah,
like shouldn't it's never just a drip,
just a repair.
Oh man, that water line's leaking like a motherfucker.
Yeah, like this is what happens right before it blows.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Like we're lucky.
Like
we're lucky. You are lucky that you found this right now.
Well, the easiest way
I'm
do it.
I'm glad you're paying attention in your home.
I consciously, like my go-to is I'm constantly wanting to say like, it's just this, right? And I don't. So what I do instead is I turn it around and I ask the customer, I said, what do you think is going to happen if we leave it like this? Do you think it's going to get any better?
You arrogant prick.
And well, it's my way of getting them off the idea of it's just anything,
yeah.
Right? Do you think that drip's going to get better or worse? Well, it's probably going to get worse. Right. So let's take care of it.
Yeah. Let me get my duct tape.
It's not just a drip.
I will duct tape this motherfucker. Yeah.
Flex Seal. Billy Mays here with Flex Seal.
Look at my boat. That
poor guy's dead.
Is he really?
Yeah, Billy Mays died.
What happened to him?
I don't know. Austin, look it up.
He probably drowned in that fucking boat.
What's his name?
Yeah, he probably got the out boat in that with boat. A screen?
Yeah, he fucking drowned in that boat.
What's his name?
Billy Mays with Flex Seal.
I'm here with Flex Seal.
Dude, have you seen Billy Mays' death.
Have you seen the new one where it's a house and they like orange foam it and then they like flood it up and no water's in the house? I'm thinking the whole time, I'm thinking that floor is wet.
He dies from a heart disease in 2009.
Yeah.
2009?
It was a while ago. Yeah.
They're still rolling his commercials.
I know. That's like the ShamWow guy that got busted for like drugs and coke and hookers and all kinds of.
First off, if you're the ShamWow guy, that's what you do. Like, I mean, that's just what happened. That's how you got to be the ShamWow guy.
Wow. That's such a sham.
How long have you been waiting to use that?
Oh, jeez.
You've been holding that joke for 6 months or what?
That's like dark conspiracy theory of God. Like, okay, I mean, I have this sham. How can I do it? Oh, I'll just call it ShamWow.
ShamWow. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I kind of miss that era of the as seen on TV stuff.
Yeah. Yep. I miss when you then all of those stores opened up as the as seen on TV and they would buy all those products and then sell them in the store for like $2 more.
No
and you're
one
like,
those.
I did. I bought all kinds of shit out
there. It was right next to Spencer's Gifts.
Yeah. I was like,
Independent
dude,
Center.
This is the shit that you could only get on TV. It's awesome.
Yeah.
When
you
go
in
there, you spend $55.
Look, it's a carrot slicer.
Yeah.
Look, I can make a waffle in the shape of a pizza.
Yeah. You know what the best part was? None of that shit worked.
Yeah.
It was all junk.
It's a salad breeze.
God, it sucks.
Like you're not even for sure if all the parts are in the box.
Yeah.
Spencer's Gift. We all just walk in the back, look, a massager.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's almost kind of like the gifts you get when you first go off to college. You get like the quesadilla maker that's like $10 from
plate.
Bed Bath & Beyond.
Hot plate.
No candles, but you can have a warming plate.
You know, I don't want to get off topic. We're probably not going to do another one, but like, I can't decide if I wish I would have went to college or not, or if I
mean, you got the college experience through me.
I got Like
you almost got arrested. You had a court date. You got drunk plenty of times.
My college
experience. Pretty sure you got laid. Like
my college experience was the duplex we lived in.
Well, yeah.
But then I would like those couple of times that I went out there. Like I literally woke up one morning with Cheetos stuck to my face.
Yeah.
Like just wake up in the morning. Like just carpet and cheat. Like, did I really want to do that for 4 years?
Yeah.
A couple weekends is probably enough.
The plunge blaster. I forgot to add that in the last conversation.
So what's funny? The reason
did
that's
you guys
funny
do
if
a
you
video
guys
of it?
No, the reason that's funny is if you guys don't know the inside joke. So we do a bunch on YouTube, and
the plunge blaster.
There's this company that sells a plunger called the plunge blaster, and it's basically pressurized air that has a nozzle that fits tightly in a toilet. And then
it's
kind of like
it.
An air cannon to blast your toilet open, right?
Like a jetter.
Yeah. Well, a jetter uses water. This uses air, but still like Milwaukee makes one that's battery powered.
Yeah.
This one like is a hand pump, right? Yeah. Well, plunge blaster, they're a foreign country, but they used a whole bunch of our YouTube footage and they their whole thing is like, I can't, what's the guy's name? My mind's going blank
Austin
now.
Austin will look it up.
I don't know where.
We got to get him a computer.
Like on YouTube?
Maybe go through our chat log and type in.
How much? The real question is how much air pressure does it take to blow up a toilet?
So that's the thing. Not enough air pressure and you don't get it open. Too much and you crack a toilet.
Or it backfires and now you have shit all over your face.
Austin, I'm going to our conversation. I'm going to search in conversation.
Oh, here we go.
No, that should be a concept of us testing. Like
I think you guys should do it.
Hacks.
I
think plumbing, like plumbing. One.
I think you guys should do it. And I think you should do it with a real toilet that's got real shit in it.
And whenever we say footage, we mean like probably minutes of footage.
Yeah.
Of Mitch, not just like 10%.
Over 50% of their commercial is our YouTube footage, and they created some fictitious name, and they're like, I can't remember the name right now, but it's something like Michael Smith, a plumber in the U.S., saw a problem, and so he invented this tool called the plunge blaster.
And they think that's you.
And everyone thinks it's me because it's all my footage.
You know what would be funny? You'd be funny as shit if someone bought that, blew up their toilet, and then tried to sue you.
Right. Yeah. You're the guy.
I mean, you son of a bitch.
What's funny is because on our YouTube channel, we do some product endorsements from time to time. We'll partner up with some product companies and we'll make a video for them.
You know what? Can we do some fishing stuff and you could get me some rods or
maybe.
Come on, man. But give me something.
I reached out to the plunge blaster and said, hey, we'd love if you'll send us a free one, I'll make you a video for it and put it on our YouTube
channel.
Did they
send it to you?
No, because they realize who's reaching out and they're like, shit, don't delete. Call that guy.
Delete.
Like Hillary Clinton on that laptop.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't want to get Clinton.
That's your best comment ever on this show. We don't want to get Clinton.
It is an election year. You never know what's going to happen.
Oh, God. So, I know what's going to happen. Someone's going to shoot that Biden because they don't want him in there.
You think we're actually going to have an election?
Yes.
Okay.
Why do you think we wouldn't?
Well, I mean, they tried to make it not happen in 2020.
Do you want to talk about it?
What are we going to get surprised with this year? What do you think it's going to be? Are the polls too unsafe to attend, and so we have to mail in ballots?
Oh, you're talking about COVID.
Yeah.
No,
all the fabricated stuff they did to try to.
I know. I thought we weren't getting political on the show
anymore.
Well,
I'm just saying.
Like, if you want to, let's go.
This isn't divisive one side or the other. This is like.
I'm ready right now. Do you want to talk about it?
Well, this totally has nothing to do with the topic of this show.
You know what we haven't done in a while? Is just some regular shows. Maybe we should do a cut. We haven't done any.
Beyond the Void?
Beyond the Void
episodes. Well, we give them an hour, so I think we have some room to.
Yeah.
Well, we can't today. We got to call it four.
It's still half an hour away.
I was having a conversation with somebody. Was having a conversation today with somebody about this.
With our show, but okay, go ahead. It's okay.
About
I don't mind.
How corrupt our justice system is that Trump's able to get convicted of all of those felonies only to have them overturned in the Supreme Court. Like, if that doesn't make you lose all faith in our justice system whatsoever, I don't know what does.
Agreed.
If the justice system can be bought and swayed and influenced like that.
You mean like Venezuela?
Like anything.
All third world countries do that.
Yeah.
They convict their opponents.
Yeah.
They get people in power and then they convict them.
Yeah.
And if you don't see the blatant, obvious, they had to create laws. Like the federal court system looked at it and was like, this is not a thing.
Yeah.
This guy changes stuff around.
Yeah.
They convict him. Like, if you can't see that,
yeah,
you're a complete fucking moron.
Right.
You're a complete idiot.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter Democrat, Republican, or anything else.
It doesn't matter. Like, It doesn't matter. Yeah. It's complete and utter bullshit. Like, yep. What are you... I don't want to get on a whole tear here.
We have a guy here locally. He's the president, or he's the chairman of the school board for Blue Springs Schools.
Yeah.
He's the pastor of a church here locally.
The guy that they made resign?
He's resigned from the school board, and he's resigned from the church because some stories have come out about him grooming young women.
Yeah.
Okay. And basically he's probing them out to see what can I get away with. Right. Yeah. And so now,
yeah, he's a creeper.
It's creepy.
He's a creeper.
But here's because of my distrust with the justice system.
You immediately didn't like think he was a creep.
No. One person comes out, we need to look into it. But when one person comes out and the whole city around us anyway, the whole city is like, oh yeah, he's trash and we got to get him out of here and blah, blah, blah. Well, now all of a sudden the floodgates opened and now there's girls coming out all over the place. He tried to groom me. He tried to groom me. He tried to groom me. And I stand for, you know, I will not back down. And it's kind of one of those things of like, hey, wait a minute. Where were you years ago? Because all of this happened years ago. And it just seems like they're taking the right opportunity now. And I'm not standing up for the guy. And I'm not saying these other people are lying.
But what it does is it makes you question. Yeah. And you shouldn't.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, back in the day, you didn't do that.
Right.
Like, but now with everything going on, you question everything. Well, it doesn't matter what it is. You're like,
with social media able to disseminate information at speed without checking to see if that information is accurate.
Yeah, that's a problem.
You've got these girls coming out against this guy and they're not vetted yet. Right. And so like
half of them are probably legit and half of them are probably
right. There's shysters. Enough coming out to tell you the guy's not great.
Nah, he's a shithead.
But like, shame on the girls that are coming out that are lying, that are using it for a chance to get some attention or whatever the case may be. Now, I know firsthand one girl that he was groomed by. I've had a physical conversation with her.
Yeah. 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 He's a creeper.
Yeah. I've had a physical conversation with her in the last 3 weeks and that actually came up.
Yeah.
She actually warned me that this is getting ready to break the news.
Yeah.
And so like, I know it's legit. I'm not standing up for the guy, but like, shame on all the other people that are bagging on, right? It's no different than like the Trump felonies. Anybody in a high level of anything, Tom Brady, Deflategate, right? Anybody at a high level of anything, because losers focus on winners and winners focus on winning, losers are going to try to find the winner doing something wrong. Well, winners are great at maximizing and slightly bending the rules. That's how you win, right? You know the rules better than anybody else, and you can bend them or push them to their limits and achieve the win, right? Golfers do this all the time. Whenever a ball lands on a sprinkler head, and the sprinkler head's near a cart path, and so they can take their relief and, oh, it landed on the cart path, so now I got to put it on the other side of the cart.
Yeah, they get two more clubs. Right. Yeah, and so instead of getting two, they're getting three.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it's perfectly legal. They know the rules better than anybody else, and they're using the rules to their advantage.
Unless you play for the Niners.
Right. Unless you play for the Niners and you don't know how overtime works in the Super Bowl. But
asshats.
But what I'm saying is all these losers see Trump pushing and bending the rules, and they're trying to say he's a cheater.
Well, and
it's not. He knows the rules better than anybody else.
Yeah, and it's just like, this is the fucking tax talk. Like, everyone, like, we all agree that taxes are bullshit and we're taxed too much. But when I make money and do well, and then I bend the tax system by starting an extra LLC so that I can write these things off legally.
Yep.
Oh, you're a tax dodger. Yeah, fuck, right. You're right. I am a tax dodger.
Yeah.
They get enough and they've given me this one little area that's legal to use. I'm going to use it.
Yeah.
I'm not doing anything illegal. I'm doing everything in my capability to make sure that I get to keep everything I earned.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? And people are like, well, you're selfish and you're doing that. Like, no.
So
this is for my family. So fuck you.
We will soon be starting a nonprofit.
Me and you aren't.
No. We at the plumbing company, we're starting a nonprofit, and it's not part of the plumbing company. It's separate.
This is a whole topic for another day. They're tough to start.
They are.
And you get audited. So be above board.
So this is independent of the plumbing company, but we call our community initiative. So we're going to end this on the same topic that we started on, and that's the community work.
Say, we're in an hour. feel like we could literally talk for 2 hours today.
We call our community initiative hashtag family first. because we feel our community is our family and family comes first, right? And so basically what that does for our company is we dedicate the first business day of every month to making necessary plumbing repairs for people in the community that can't afford them, right? If it's the only toilet in your house and it ain't working, we're going to get it working. If you need hot water, we're going to get you hot water. If you need a faucet, we're going to get you a faucet, right? Yeah. There's some things in the code that are required for you to be able to live in a house. And we're going to get you up to code.
Yeah.
Right? We've restored water service to houses that didn't have water for 2 years. We've restored hot water to houses that didn't have hot water for 3 years. Imagine 3 years, no hot water, right? They simply couldn't afford it. There was one house where we had clogged drains in half the house for 2 years. The only things that drained in their house were their kitchen and their laundry. Their bathrooms didn't drain.
They just cut the stack in the basement and let it pile up?
No. Ugh. They just left them clogged. And when they needed to use the restroom, they would go to Quick Trip. They would go to their neighbors and shower, and they would go to Quick Trip to use the bathroom.
That's awful.
Right. For 2 years. And I went there. This was back before we had employees. I went there in about 2.5 hours of work, and I was able to get them back open and draining. And their son actually called me afterwards, and their son was sobbing. Because he was sobbing because it's his own mom that was, you know, dealing with that, and he was not in a financial position to help her.
Yeah.
And so, like, we do this, right? We've done this for... I mean, we were coming up on 4 years in business. We've done this ever since day one.
Yeah.
We've done well over $100,000 in work for the community
and that's
no charge.
And I think I know where you're going with this. That is actually a tax write-off.
Exactly. It's a tax write-off if we can run it through a 501c3. We don't have one right now.
Yeah.
So basically, it's me just giving that away, right?
Yeah.
And that's fine. I don't mind giving it away.
No, but...
However, like, with our current tax system, I would love to be able to write off $100,000 of income.
Yeah.
And over the last 4 years.
And I don't know what the rule is on that. It's probably a percentage, but it's half.
It's fully deductible. So,
dude, that's a lot of money.
But essentially what we're going to do is I'm going to start a 501c3 that's independent of the plumbing company. The plumbing company is going to make a monetary donation to the 501c3 every month. Now that it's a freestanding 501c3, we can also seek donations from outside sources. And then once it's a freestanding 501c3 called Family First, then we can actually do a lot more work in the community that's not just plumbing. Because we're receiving outside donations, if you need an air conditioner fix, I can take money from the 501c3 and pay an AC company to go fix your AC.
Is this a Keith thing?
No. This is all my...
Where's Keith?
He's totally on board.
No, I'm saying I'm surprised he didn't bring that up. That's what I mean.
No, I brought it up to him. So my first accountant told me don't do it. And I brought it up to Keith and he was like, your first accountant's a fucking idiot.
Which we all knew. Yeah, everyone knows. Everyone that's ever listened to this show knows that Mitch's first two accountants were shitheads.
Yeah. So ultimately, like, those are things I'm going to do because it helps me tax-wise. Now, you can look at that with two mindsets. One mindset is, he's just doing that to save money on taxes.
Fucking yeah, I am. Yeah.
Right?
Taxation is, what is it? What's the phrase?
Taxation without representation.
No, taxation is theft. Yeah.
Without representation.
No, it's just theft.
Yeah.
It's just theft.
Ironically, Keith, my financial advisor.
That's his slogan, ain't it?
His slogan is taxation is theft.
It is theft.
But it's like,
I'm so mad right now.
Well, here's the flip side.
I had to write a big check this year, and I'm still burned up.
Here's the flip side of this.
It's been 6 months.
Taxes typically run about 30%. Okay? I've donated $100,000to the community at free.
It would have taken your tax debt away.
There's 30 grand in taxes I've paid that I didn't have to pay over the last 4 years.
Yeah.
What could I do with that 30 grand in the terms of Family First? How many more families could I help with an extra 30 grand?
A lot.
A lot.
And guess what? The whole thing we were talking about earlier about when one person sees that this guy's doing bad, what's going to happen when you do that?
Right.
They're going to be on there like, this guy's just scamming everybody.
Yeah.
It's
a tax shelter and blah, blah. Yeah, okay. You call it whatever you want.
Yeah.
Let's see how much work you've done for the community.
Oh, and that's my whole point. It's like, you know what? People will sit there on their fat asses and be like, this person's doing this, and this person's doing this, and this person's doing that. What are you doing?
Yeah. What are you, like, worry about you.
What are you doing? You watching Netflix? You eating fucking Cheetos?
Yeah.
What? Get your ass up and do something. Like, everyone wants to have this conversation about, especially people on
somebody else. Somebody should do something about that.
Especially on the left. Like, the government should do this and this and that. Guess what? We are the government. We are the people. Mm-hmm. The people pay the money into the government, and then it's done.
It's up to us.
It's up to us. Get right. off of your freaking lazy ass if you're able.
Yeah.
And be part of the solution, not the problem.
Right.
God, and I hate people.
Look at it.
God, I hate that I'm so jaded now.
The flip side of this is running a 501c3 is not free. It costs money. You have to have a board. You have to have people on salary.
Yeah.
Like it's Ooh, legit.
Can I be on the board?
Yeah.
Sweet.
You're going to be on the board.
I'll donate my time.
No, board members can get paid. Like you can receive salary. Yeah.
Jackpot.
Yeah.
I'm definitely in. I was going to do it for free.
This isn't.
I was going to donate my time.
This isn't Goodwill, where the CEO of Goodwill is making millions a year.
Oh, Susan B. Cohen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, she makes $2 million a year. We work for a nonprofit.
Yeah, it's a nonprofit, but I'm making myself filthy rich, right? Like, so that's two ways to
and
look at it.
And there's a minimum. One, like, there's a minimum and a maximum.
Right. One way to look at it is that I do all this to save 30 grand in taxes. The other way I look at this is I'm already putting in the work anyway.
You're
I
doing
do all
this
of this so that I can put 30 grand yeah. back into the community.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so
to help more families.
I can't help that your perspective is wrong. And that you're jaded in why I'm doing this.
Exactly.
I know why I'm doing it, and that's all that matters.
That's right.
Right.
We talk about all the time of don't let other people dictate what you do or how you feel about something. Like,
right.
Do it for you. Like, don't care what any other person thinks.
That's the greatest way to end this show. You're ready now. Do it for you. Do what yeah. you think you want to do later. Yeah. Do it now.
Yeah.
Don't wait.
Don't.
I should have started this 501c3 four fucking years ago.
Yeah, and I'm not going to say that I would have ever thought about it.
Right.
You're right, but you're right. You should have.
Yeah. That's why I'm going to do it now.
And you weren't ready.
I wasn't ready, but
you,
I am now.
But you were ready.
I was ready.
You were ready.
I didn't think I was.
You didn't think right? you were ready.
I mean, it's a classic thing of like, oh, if this gets big enough, I'll start a 501c3. No, I should have just done it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
This is,
so.
Like, I've been thinking about opening up a furniture shop, like a real small one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Should have done it 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Can lose money for 4 years.
Yeah, should have done it.
So, all right, that's going to wrap it up for this show. If this show brought you value, if it made you think about things in a different perspective,
how about just made you laugh a little
bit? Do us a favor and share this show with somebody who you know needs to hear it. I know that you're thinking of somebody in your head right now that would need to hear this show. Hit the share button, send them a copy of this show to their Facebook Messenger, to their text messaging, whatever, right? Send them a copy of the show. Also, give us a 5-star review if you haven't yet. I feel we've earned it. We drop a ton of information absolutely free of charge. So the least you can do is give us a 5-star review and share the show. Until next week, guys, we'll see you later.
See you.